This is a podcast for ethics, and it's Monday, October 10th, 2016, and we're finishing up talking about moral skepticism. So we're talking about Glaucon's argument, and we've talked about the Gyges ring, which is essentially a thought experiment. You'll see a lot of these in ethics. You know, this starts with Socrates. It's put forth, it seems like Plato really doesn't take these legends seriously. He talks about a lot of legends, but I think, Plato's an intellectual. He's part of an elite class. Although he does have some religious beliefs, I think his mentioning particular legends of Greek mythology, should be looked at as rhetorical devices. I don't think he takes these things seriously. You'll see in the Euthyphro dialogue where Euthyphro, who seems to be a very fairly traditional religious person, says all these things, and Socrates is a bit incredulous that he takes all the Greek myths literally. In any event, he brings up the story of Gyges' ring, and basically the idea is what if you had a ring that would let you do whatever you wanted? And Glaucon's argument is that everybody would behave exactly the same. And if you didn't behave in a totally antisocial way, that there's something wrong with you. You're stupid, you're irrational, you're foolish. That any person that wouldn't use it to get all the money, sex, and power that they desired would be irrational. Thank you. I'll charge these while I run out this battery here. So they would be irrational, according to Glaucon. And some people brought up some arguments against that. Let's see if I can turn this back on now. Let's skip around this. A few of these slides. Oops. Okay. This will show up in a second once the projector warms up again. Talked about Plato's got a comeback, and his basic idea is that if you let your desires control you, then you've become an animal, and that it's bad to go around being pulled around by your desires. A rational person, a human being, is a person who's not pulled around by their desires, who makes decisions about things based on reason and not desire. And to become somebody like Gyges is really to lower yourself to the level of a ravenous animal. You're becoming like a rabid dog, according to Plato's argument. So I think I've got, if I had some comebacks to Plato here. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit. Some practical considerations. So think about, If you think about, well, how often should I be just? And even if you commit a petty crime, like you shoplift at Walmart, this could be you, right? You could be standing out there with a sandwich board sign because some judge decides that this is the appropriate punishment, and be publicly humiliated and shamed for stealing a pack of gum or some cigarettes or whatever it is, some petty crime. And the idea is that, well, you know, it's $3, right? It's $5. It's foolish to take a chance of this really big consequence for a really small sacrifice of paying what you owe. And if you behave badly consistently, then this is what Glaucon will admit, you get a bad reputation. And then sometimes, even if the risk is really small of getting caught, you still might want to do some, might not want to do something unjust, because the consequences are so big, right? So if you're going to, say, commit the perfect murder, you want to be careful that, that even if your chance of getting caught is like 1%, there's always that little tiny chance. And then what happens? Well, you could life in prison, or maybe lethal injection. So you might actually lose your life over this really small chance. So you got to pay attention to serious consequences and social ostracization. So what does that mean for like most of the time? Oh, and also people getting revenge, right? So you do something bad to someone, they might do something bad to you back. And it might take them a while to get around to it. So you saw this in the debate last night, right? So Trump brought along this woman who was publicly destroyed by Hillary after being a rape victim when she's 12 years old. And Hillary got the rapist off on a technicality and is on tape laughing about it. So that's something that happened way, way long ago when Hillary was practicing law, before she even got into politics. And it comes back to bite her in the ass, right? This person is, they had her life destroyed and she's upset, and she's sort of been, not even known to the public until just recently. The same thing about, those comments that Trump made, the rough locker room talk in the van with Billy Bush. It's something... something he said that he had to apologize for, and it's really, really hurt him. It's just an idle word 10 years ago, some little thing where he did something wrong, something inappropriate, and it comes out and totally, sabotages his race. So that's a reason to, like, always, 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 even when you think you're in private, even when you think nobody's listening, to be in your best behavior. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Hume now. So basically, I think you make an argument, and I don't know if I want to skip to that yet. So let me just summarize. I don't know if I put that up there. That basically, I think you can have a back and forth argument, but one of the things you could say is that living in America may be your best shot at being successful in life is being a conventionally good person, of not taking other people's stuff, of telling the truth most of the time, of respecting other people's rights, of being a good friend, of being a faithful romantic partner. That all those things in the long run seem to serve people. But it might be that every once in a while, it seems like it's really hard to make an argument that every single time you have a chance to do right or do wrong, they should always do right. That there's never a case where doing the conventionally wrong thing is not in your interest. Any final thoughts on Glaucon's argument? Okay, well, let's move on and talk about Hume. So Hume says you can't derive an ought from an is. So what does he mean by that? So you can't say, here are the facts, therefore here's the moral implication, and then here's what you should do. So suppose you have a case where, a person's murdered, and you see the murderer tortured the victim beforehand and stole all of her stuff, maybe sexually assaulted her, and you know, left her to die. And so a person might look at that, and it's a normal person would say, well, that guy deserves to be punished. But Hume says that that feeling that that person deserves to be punished, that's not something that's part of the external facts. The facts are like, you know, how many stab wounds did she have? How long did it take her to die? I mean, how much did she suffer? Those are all the facts of the situation. But this idea that that person deserves to be punished, that's in here. That's a feeling you have. It's not part of the external world. And so so Hume says you can never look at the facts, you know, no matter how detailed you get, a set of facts never imply any moral obligation. I don't know, your best friend lent you $500. You just have just come into an inheritance of $50,000. Your friend is homeless and in dire need of money. And it could be that $500 is just enough to get an apartment. Once they have an apartment, they'll have an address. They'll be able to get some public assistance. And they've just got a job opportunity to get them back on their feet. But they need to have a permanent address in order to do this job. All those facts imply, according to Hume, imply nothing about whether or not you should give the money to the person that you owe them. And you can say, oh, the person trusted you, that you promised to pay them back, that, you know, just you go down the line of all the things that would make you a terrible person if you didn't pay them the money back. Hume would say even the feeling that you should pay the person back, it's just a feeling. There's no basis on fact. So that's this idea that Hume has that basically there's a difference between facts and values. I think I might have changed this a little bit. Let me I'm gonna switch recordings here and put in the latest version of the PowerPoint. I think I've made some modifications here.